Hello and welcome back to the Gubba Podcast. I'm Gubba, a first-time homesteader following in the footsteps of my homesteading forebears. In this podcast, I discuss prepping, homesteading, and everything in between. Today, I am going to be discussing how we are disconnected from our food and how we can regrow that connection that our great-grandparents had with their food. I think it's so important, especially with the time where we are at. Throughout the podcast, we will be weaving in and out of conspiracies because our food system is not an independent and isolated system. It is a part of a greater network or scheme, if you will. If you want to start taking control of your food and live a lifestyle more like your great-grandparents, I have a bunch of blogs and resources on my website. It's gubbahomestead.com that you may find insightful. And if you follow me on my socials, you have probably seen the mini conspiracy videos that I make. I say, I'm a conspiracy theorist, then follow up with a conspiracy of sorts. Well, I believe what we are discussing today would be considered a conspiracy, and we will dive into those aspects. But on the scale of hard to swallow conspiracies, this one is pretty mild. If you want me to dive further into other conspiracies, let me know and I will. I've seen the comments on those videos. Some conspiracies are really upsetting for some people. A lot of people agree. A lot of people get really mad. You can let me know where you fall, and I'm happy to go into those because I think they are enlightening. We can call today the Great Food Conspiracy. What is a conspiracy? The term was actually coined by the CIA to divert truth from bubbling to the surface, in a sense. If anyone thinks differently than what the system tells them, that thought is termed a conspiracy. The Great Food Conspiracy is our systematic disconnection from our food. You may think that it is not a big deal, but it is. Our disconnection from food then leads to being a sick and blind population, which then leads to money in the pockets of the system. And whenever I say the system, I am referring to a collective of governments, corporations, greedy people, and the families who run the world, all of it. That is the system, and the system dictates our lives from when we are born. And I would like to remind you of a famous quote: "He who controls the food controls the people." So how did the system disconnect us from our food? If you look back to our great-grandparents, so about 100 years ago, we didn't have convenience stores. We had gardens and community-supported agriculture. In reality, there may have been better systems in place, but that technology has been wiped out. You can research Tartaria and the World Fairs and all the mysterious city fires in every major city here in America around the time our great and great-great-grandparents were around and see what you stumble upon. Seriously, looking into those city fires and seeing why did these fires start? There's one in Michigan, and it's like, oh, a cow knocked over a pail and then it knocked over the candle and then burned down the whole entire city. And I remember going through history when I was younger, you know, going through the school system and learning about these fires and how the White House mysteriously burned down once and they had to rebuild it. What was up with all of these fires? I'm just gonna leave that out there for you, but I do believe it is thought-provoking to ruminate on these ideas and really go down a path of actual history. Who wrote the history that we have now? Anyways, let's get back to our food conspiracy for today. All conspiracies, or if you will, truths, intertwine together. But right now, we are told our great-grandparents homesteaded and settled the land. I do have oral history from my grandma discussing growing up on the homestead, so I know that did happen. I'm just at this point where we have been lied to so much, but also the truth is out there, and that's one of my favorite quotes. It's from The X-Files. The truth is out there, right? It really is. You just gotta look. It's in your face most of the time, but I know that my grandparents and my great-grandparents, they grew their own food, and my great-grandma had a ginormous pantry of canned goods lining the walls to feed her large family. Now, canning is not as popular, and extensive food storage pantries like that are far and few in between. Grocery stores rolled out around this time frame of my great-grandparents and seemed like a wonderful solution to having food instead of growing and preserving it yourself. This is a huge moment in history. where we traded health and self-sufficiency for convenience. Gardens became outdated because why grow celery when you could just get it from the store and not have to worry about the fuss of planting it? Keep in mind, grocery store prices have been artificially low due to subsidies, so this probably seemed like a great trade-off at the time. Now, in 2024, we are starting to see prices skyrocket and people are beginning to realize it wasn't so great of a trade-off because now we don't have the skills of how to grow a garden or preserve food. So our hand is forced into buying expensive food from the grocery store because we have no other option, or we think we have no other option. What else did the grocery stores compromise? They compromised our communities. Before grocery stores, we relied on our communities for trading and bartering. Say you kept a milk cow but didn't grow strawberries. You could trade a portion of your milk for your neighbor's strawberries. Yes, you can still do this, but imagine the grand scale it was being done on before grocery stores rolled out and disrupted the system. We stopped depending on each other, our community, our neighbor, and outsourced our dependence to the system. Do you see the problem with that? If you don't, thankfully, we have a recent example on why that is a huge problem, why outsourcing our dependence to the system just does not work. 2020, we saw the grocery store system collapse. Panic set in, shelves were emptied, and chaos was erupting in the stores. Imagine if 2020 happened with my great grandma. She got the news, some mysterious weird funk the news was propagating to scare everyone. She didn't have to panic because she had the necessary skills and the resources to sustain her family. They were self-sufficient and intertwined with their community. They were strong. They didn't have to fight people for food at the grocery stores because their community had it together. She had it together. If I ran the world and wanted to disrupt communities, I would introduce grocery stores. Think about it. Communities that are strong, work together, and can suffice without the system, they are a threat to the system. The grocery store starts spreading through communities and they are no longer depending on their gardens and neighbors. They begin to depend on the convenience of food from a store that is from another country or a mass farm that is subsidized with some government bill. Not only does this disrupt the community, but it disconnects us from our food because we no longer know where our food is coming from, who is growing it, or how it is being grown, what methods they are using to grow the food. You may not think being connected to our food matters, but it does. For example, if you saw a sick animal right now in front of you and it was diseased, it had cancers, ulcers, foaming at the mouth, it was lame, it couldn't walk, and it had pus and open sores, would you want to eat that meat? If that animal is sick and diseased, what do you think its products would do to you? It's milk, it's meat, it's cheese. If a tomato was sprayed with toxic cancer-causing pesticides in front of you, where the pesticide is poisonous and the people who apply it have to wear hazmat suits, would you want to eat that tomato? I don't think that you would want to eat either of those, and I wouldn't either. But because we are so disconnected from our food, we have no idea the state our food is being grown in or raised in. It's like the quote, ignorance is bliss. We are blissfully ignorant to the fact the food at the store is making us sick. It is coming from sick animals. It's coming from sprayed fields. We go to the grocery store, shop what is presented to us on the shelves, take it home, and cook it up without a second thought. Unfortunately, we are born into this type of system, so a majority of people don't understand what they are actually buying into, what they are supporting, what they are giving their money to, and what they are subsequently doing to themselves and their families. If you take a step back and evaluate the food system for what it is right now, today, like you are doing by listening to this podcast, you can hopefully see how how problematic it is that we aren't questioning grocery stores and what they are doing to us and our communities. Along with the rollout of grocery stores and now being able to buy produce and meat there, we now have unlimited access to processed foods. If I ran the world and wanted a sick and docile people, I would supply them with bioengineered food products and convince them that they are safe and effective. I mean, just safe. When people are presented with food options at the store, they will assume that they are safe. These food options in front of them are safe. These weird dyed foods, this weird colored drink, they are safe simply because they are at the store, and there is no possible way they could be on the shelves if they weren't safe. The FDA would not allow it. If you think like this, you need to stop. That isn't true. We have been conditioned into that mode of thinking, but it is time to deprogram and realize the dino nuggets that are staring at you from the freezer aisle are going to make you and your children sick. Not only will they make you all sick, but they will take away your freedom because you sacrifice your time and your skills in order to consume it and prepare it for your family. Time, because instead of preparing food at home, you opted for convenience of going to the store and rummaging through the aisles to ultimately settle on a processed food. And you're sacrificing your freedom, because the more time that goes by where you don't learn how to cook, bake, and provide for your family from scratch or with better options, the more of your freedom dwindles down the toilet and you have to clasp onto the system to sustain yourself. How can you depend on yourself if you don't have skills? Your freedom's gone. It's out the window. In regards to being disconnected from our food, do you know what environment that chicken was raised in for those dino nuggets? Those are just an example. I mean, do you actually know that the dino nugget you are preparing for dinner is actually meat from an animal? You don't know that because of your disconnection. You could be eating lab-made meat or something worse. Who knows? And we don't know because we're not connected from our food. We are so conditioned to just going to the store and grabbing what's in front of us. No second thought into what went into making that food. So now that you don't know what you are actually eating, you don't know what that mystery food is doing to your body. What kind of chemicals are in it? And how is it reacting with your body on a chemical level? If you can't pronounce an ingredient on the list, does it really have any business to be going into your body? This is another example of ignorance. We think because it is on the shelf, it is safe to put into our bodies. This is not true. For example, there is a popular chip that a lot of teenagers eat that has funky colors like blue coloring and different reds. I've seen the packaging for it. It's very vibrant. And then it's like these chips that are dyed all these different colors and whatnot. And the ingredients list is loaded with dyes and other chemical compounds. And this is like the hit teenage junk food. Did you know that Red 40 has been linked to cancer in animal studies? Of course, it is inconclusive with humans, but if it is giving animals cancer, I can only assume what it would do to our bodies. Hydrolyzed soy protein, which is a common ingredient in processed food. When you first read it, you may think, oh, soy is okay and protein's great. The naming conventions for the chemicals that are marketed to us are so sly and deceptive. So we just fall into this system of, oh, wow, that sounds okay. Fragrance sounds okay. Natural additive sounds okay. There are compounds found in these soy proteins that are linked to cancer as well. Of course, all of this is approved by the FDA. So this really goes to show that their approval means nothing. And you need to investigate ingredients for yourself. I mean, they are approving these chips that have cancer-causing ingredients. So what is that going to say about everything else that is on the shelf? If somebody is like, well, the FDA approves it, that means nothing. This is all an example of how we are so disconnected. We grew up eating junk food. So then we think it is okay to feed our kids junk food. The schools feed our kids junk and our friends eat junk and feed their kids junk. Junk is so normalized. Just this junk food. It's not even food. I'm just going to call it junk. It is normalized. And this disconnection is normalized. I would challenge you to stand out and stop intermingling with this norm so it doesn't continue to perpetuate. Like, be okay to, you know, be different. That sounds so cliche and lame, but be okay if, you know, you don't want to eat the junk food. People are going to look at you like, what? Or let your kids be kids. I have seen that comment so many times when somebody is sharing how they don't let their kids eat certain foods, the chips and other junk. Well, you're not letting your kids be kids. No, I'm not letting my kids be poisoned. There is a huge difference. So do you see how it's normalized and how it's okay to just be different? Okay, that is not a normal that I want to be a part of anymore. I want to step outside of that. I struggle going to people's houses for dinner because of this. As much as I find it is so kind for people to invite and go out there, there is such a low standard of food that I can't sacrifice myself getting sick to go over. So I have been learning how to deal with this where I say, oh, okay, well, I do have special allergies. I can only have butter. I cannot do any vegetable oils. Genuinely, those will like make me so inflamed. It's insane. And I shared this sentiment on Twitter actually of how it is a struggle to be invited to people's houses for dinner because it is such a nice thing for someone to reach out, share their home, share their food. But like we've been discussing in this podcast, there is such a different norm of food that I am not okay with. The norm is the processed food, the junk, the vegetable oil instead of butter. If I go to somebody's house, like that is just what people eat. And you know what? That's okay. I don't judge. You do you, but I need to do me and not be judged for it. Okay. Last time I went to somebody's house for dinner, it was a little over a year ago because I learned my lesson and I got there and I ended up helping them. And it was like Pillsbury biscuits, you know, from the can and vegetable oils and just other stuff that I was like, oh gosh, this is going to make me so sick. And it did. It made me sick almost immediately at the table. My stomach swelled up. It was just not a great experience. And so it's difficult when somebody reaches out and says, hey, like come and eat, or hey, can your kids have some of this blue Kool-Aid? And you say, no, like we don't eat that. People then automatically assume you're better than them, but no, you have a connection with your food. Stand on it, be firm with it, and that is okay. And if people want to be upset by that, they need to be upset by that. That is their own problem. Anyways, another story that is pressing on my mind that is close to home, discussing all of our connections to our food and thinking about our communities, is the small family farms. A part of disrupting communities with grocery stores popping up everywhere, small farms got taken under. How could they possibly compete with prices offered at the store, the convenience? Grocery stores have been such a bait and switch. People were baited with convenience and now they are paying years later because of their lack of skills and now the codependence with the grocery stores, the system. Small farms just couldn't keep up and around me. There were a lot of dairy farms back in the day. I got to talking with an older neighbor who grew up on a dairy farm and ran one as he got older. He said everyone around here ran a dairy, but the small dairies got destroyed when government incentives rolled out to buy their cattle and the government started meddling about with dairies, like small dairy farm affairs. Soon enough, the small dairy industry collapsed and now only the big dairy giants run the show, supply the grocery stores. It's no longer your farmer supplying you with milk. I found that intriguing as I was talking to him about this because I wondered, does he know it was all part of an elaborate plan to disconnect the people from their food and disrupt communities? I think he did because he is intelligent and he saw it for what it was. So it does give me hope that, you know, people see this. The meddling in small farm affairs like that devastated this area. And I would imagine other small farm areas. It literally just took out families who had done this for generations. Then all of a sudden the whole system's disrupted because of the system. Stories like this make you realize that we really don't have a free market and it truly is controlled at a level that we can't do anything to stop it. But hey, Bill Gates is buying land to grow food and save us all, right? Now that our communities are disrupted and we have been disconnected from our food, what do we do? we take the time to start investing into our communities and ultimately ourselves. Source local, friends. Look up farms near you to see what they offer. Maybe they sell meat, eggs, milk, or fresh bread. Maybe they sell produce during the summer and you can learn how to can and preserve food during harvest. Learn how to grow your garden. If you are thinking that none of these ways are feasible for you to reconnect with your food or community, I would suggest looking into Azure Standard. If you shop at Costco, I would suggest ditching Costco for their bulk items and start shopping at Azure. Azure Standard is like an online Costco, but you can get individual items as well. You don't need a membership to shop there, and a majority of their products are high quality, non-GMO, and they will share what farms their food comes from, which I think is really cool. I suggest shopping here because how Azure works is once a month, they will do a drop-off in your community of everyone's items. So it's somebody's driveway, it's at a park, a big semi comes, drops everything off, and everybody is there waiting. This is great because this could give you an opportunity to meet people in your community who may have shared or similar interests. I know I've met a few people at my drop-offs and friendships have even formed from that. So if you can't grow a garden or don't have any farms near you, look into Azure Standard and see if they have anything that you would be interested in and go to a drop-off and see what your community is all about. At the different drop-offs I have been to, I have always experienced kind people who are open to talking. One person I got in contact with because we began discussing chicken feed, and a year later, we still reach out to see what the other is using for feed and if they found any better options. It could be something you really enjoy. But I hope that you have found this podcast thought-provoking. I think about our food system all of the time and try to spread the message of supporting local as much as I can because I truly believe there is power in that. And also the message of hoping for people to see that we are so disconnected from our food, but we can reconnect with it. Not only is there power in that, but learning those skills our great grandparents had is incredibly fruitful. They have been lost for a reason, systematically. It is time to take back what they knew and not step away from it for convenience. It is time to teach our children these valuable skills. So hopefully these skills continue to blossom and provide for future generations. I appreciate you for tuning in, and I hope that you have a good, amazing, preserving, fruitful, awesome food reconnecting day. Bye.